He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hi to our listeners for this week's edition of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. And Jay, the New York Car Show is coming up. We'll see who gets there to report on it for this show. I think what's happening, and I'm reading some of the stuff that's coming in about it, that it's going to be, I think the emphasis is going to be on the electric car world, although I am sorry that if that is so, that that is the case, because there's so much going on between the electric car world of marketing and manufacturers' issues about whether or not the electric car is going to take over or not, and the return to some manufacturers of delaying their electric car programs that all of the manufacturers were racing towards, as it looked like everybody had to have an electric car by 2035 or whatever the time frame was, as states have been suggesting. California, I believe, wanted to have electric car sales to be all but 100% by some, actually, near-term thought, was it? Do you know what it was, 2035 or something?
I can't remember if it's 2030 or 2035, but I do believe it's going to be a sliding, moving target.
I think so, too, because everybody's backtracking as the world is finally waking up to what we have been talking about on this show for many months about the infrastructure problems.
I don't think backtracking is the right word. I think it's a slowdown, and I think you're right that infrastructure is obviously a critical issue. There are other issues too.
There are lots of issues.
Lots
and I
of
don't
issues,
think we need to get
I,
into
I
all
think
of them.
The trend is still going to go in that direction. There's no doubt about it.
Yes,
there's going to be legal slowdowns. I know some of the European manufacturers are trying to get that date pushed back or allow for ICE engines to be produced if they run on synthetic fuel. And we know there's a lot of research going on in that department, and it that is pretty cool. But on one hand, yes, it's going to allow some manufacturers to keep some of their ICE engines in production, but the numbers are not going to be all that great because the production of synthetic fuel is still very, very limited, and there's no way to scale that in the foreseeable future. Not before, electric vehicle productions can increase and those problems can be solved. So we're just going to keep going on the way we're going.
I think ICE vehicles, internal combustion engines, for those not familiar with initials, will be around for a long time, or a longer time than maybe it was originally projected. I know owners of ICE vehicles are going to be around for a longer time, too, and they are going to be sure, because I know some people who are doing just that, even as we speak. They have the vehicles with the ICE engines in them, in their fleets, for enjoyment far down the road in years.
Oh, yes.
And I'm one of them. I mean,
and
I'm not
so
buying anything new, but my fleet is not going to convert to electric vehicles anytime soon. And the cars that I have, for any listeners who care to listen to this, is a very nice selection of different cars with different characteristics that I've had already for a number of years. And I think you agree that with some of the things you've been dealing with in car interest recently, and good for that. That means just means that, you know, a selection is going to be available for us, and people who want certain cars are going to make sure they get them before they become extinct or all electrified without any ICE engine options. And we're talking about the likes of Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, and Aston Martin and Ferrari, and even those.
I was just reading an article this morning about diesel cars and the fact that even though, and they're still around in Europe, you know, the diesel market came to a halt here with Volkswagen's Dieselgate scandal. And you and I both either owned or still own diesel Volkswagens. But in Europe, mostly luxury vehicles are still diesel-powered. Mercedes still makes an S-Class with a diesel engine, and I just read a review of this morning. It's extremely quiet. It's as powerful as a gasoline engine. It gets way better fuel mileage, and obviously they can make them to be clean, or they wouldn't be allowed to be on the roads. It's just not going to happen here anymore, but it's kind of a shame. And actually, I just filled up the tank on my diesel Volkswagen yesterday because I found some cheaper diesel somewhere along the road. And now
was it below $4 a gallon?
Below $4 a gallon.
Yep. And I saw one too. Fine.
And so now I'm good for 720 or 730 miles.
Amen.
So, No range anxiety here.
That's true. And diesel is very varied in pricing, I've noted, around the northwest and middle part of Connecticut, which I travel to quite a bit, or travel through quite a bit. And so it is very, and gas prices vary quite widely as well. You know, I do not know much about Fairfield County, and listeners don't need to go down there to find out what I'm about to say, but the gas prices in Fairfield County are 40 to 60 cents a gallon more than they are outside of Fairfield County in some of the towns I go through. And people are still filling up there. So they don't know about gas outside their territory, or else they don't care. And probably the latter is the factor in that particular
decision. Yeah, and a lot of these people drive in Fairfield County drive cars that require
premium
fuel, and the price of premium fuel is way higher than that of regular gas, and usually right up there with the price of diesel, if not more, actually.
And
nobody advertises the cheapest a premium gas. But I was going by and I won't say where, but, you know, in our tri-state area, by a gas station that traditionally has the highest gas prices around, and their premium gas price was lower than everywhere else. So, again, that's...
Well, that's another thing to look for if you're a premium gas user, listeners, because right now, as far as I think we are concerned, certainly my personal opinion is that we are gouged by everything above the old era of 10, 20, and 30 cents separation between regular, mid-grade, and premium, which is too far back to remember when it was last there around here. But there are still places out west where it is there's a much lower differentiation between regular grade and premium grade, well under a dollar difference to be had. And so I guess that tells me that I feel that we are being gouged if you have to use premium-grade gasoline in the vehicle. Of course, the old adage of if you can afford the car, you can afford the gas prices, and that is probably true where it is necessary.
So let's go all electric.
Let's go all electric.
So let's talk
about the emphasis of the car show in New York is going to be the electric world. They're talking about in some of the emails I've gotten, but the sales are sagging a little bit, and the auto industry as a whole is having a hard time figuring out what is the real value of used electric vehicles. I recently saw one that was a Hyundai Ioniq 5, I think it was, that had 22,000 miles on it, and it was on being looked at by a customer, and the asking price was $38,000 for it, well below the gouged price that another friend of mine had to pay for his similar vehicle. He paid over $55,000, which I saw the Mulroney window sticker, I think was listed at 52 or 54.
So,
and he only has 12,000 miles on his car, and he's trying to sell it. and he's asking like 42 for it because he's got a loan out on it, and he thinks he can get it. And I told him he wasn't going to.
Yeah, well, so, it's a tough sell because right now, interestingly, Tesla's Model 3 and Model Ys are selling below the average price of a new car. So Tesla has brought down the prices of some of their models to the point that it's getting some of Tesla's investors a little nervous. But the reality is you can buy, I think, a Tesla 3 for $38,000, and you can buy a Tesla Y for $48,000.
This is after the $7,500 credit? Or are they no longer viable for that?
As I was spitting out the words, I was actually thinking about questioning that myself. I'm not 100% sure. I think it is before the credit.
I think it's before. I don't know about the Model 3 at $38,000. I've never seen a Tesla knowingly offered at $38,000 without the discussion of the tax credit is included. But I can't remember whether Teslas are still qualifying for those or not with all the newfangled ideas that the government has put in about percentage of parts built in the U.S. versus out
of America. Interrupt you right now. Model Y starting at $36,000 after the tax credit.
So after the tax credit, okay.
That is a really
incredible price.
Yes.
Do they have Windows? Standard?
Yes.
Sorry, Jay. But I think in
I'm
a lot
drinking
of...
I'm the Tesla Kool-Aid. I'm just merely reporting facts.
Okay. Well, but the other thing about some of these car manufacturers, and Tesla is not exclusive to this, is that the charge for paints outside of what they decide is their standard color, which may be white or black or something like that, has gotten rather outrageous in some car manufacturers' options list. It seems to me that Tesla had a $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000 option if you went red or blue or something like that above whatever their standard color was. Do you know anything about this? It's going on with American cars too now. I mean, but Stellantis, for example, has a $600, $500 to $700 option cost for standard colors of many of their vehicles that are outside of what their standard color is, and I don't know whether it's white or black.
Well,
but it's usually only white.
You can do better and just order a Porsche with paint to sample. That's the way to go, in my opinion.
With a what sample?
Paint to sample. You submit the sample of paint you want, and you get the color you want.
Yeah, and you pay for it.
Of course you pay for it.
But, you know,
a lot of money, too.
That's true. But the American car manufacturers haven't gotten into the lot of money option in the paint code situation.
Well, remember, this is America. We produce a lot of cars, and then we just put them on parking lots and dealers floor plan them, and we wait for people to come and buy them.
Correct.
You don't spec order a car in 99% of cases.
Which is too bad, because I remember when I spec ordered my very first vehicle, which was a 69 Ford Bronco, and I went over with the spec sheet with the dealer, and the car got built to my specs and arrived 6 to 8 weeks after I ordered it.
And it would be worth $100,000 if you still ordered it.
That is correct. let's move on to other subjects, Jay. You put some in the hopper.
Speaking of the New York Auto Show, I was trying to figure out, you know, we've gone to the show you more times than I have, but I've gone several times, and as we know, car shows are not what they used to be, and you rarely get really, truly new models being presented at auto shows.
That's correct.
I think this year in New York, the dates are March 29th to April 7th, we will be seeing the new Hyundai Tucsons and Santa Fes. And Santa Fe is pretty interesting because I like the design they had in the current generation, and they've gone to a totally different, much more boxy looking design for the 2025 Santa Fe.
I think it's wonderful looking too. I got to tell you,
it absolutely is. I like the current one, and I like the new one just as much. It makes me think of a little bit of a Land Rover Defender, but better looking.
I agree. It's wonderful looking. People who like Hyundai Santa Fe should take a look at it. We're not pitching them, but they are really, car designs are evolving, to jump into this conversation a little bit early on this. And some of the manufacturers are going back to the boxier look. I think Range Rover has got a boxier look in one of their models. And Mercedes may also have one, too. But I am all for the box from the standpoint of functional efficiencies in terms of people who want to have headroom, for one thing, and good luggage room behind the rearmost seat that comes in these, and many of them are three rows.
Well, do you remember back in in the early 90s, there was a little Mazda that was all round, like a Mazda 2, or I can't remember the name of it. And the commercial for it was, which is bigger, a circle or a square? And you can either draw a circle around a square or inside a square. So it was kind of, you could debate the argument of.
I don't remember that at all, Jay. It's fascinating that they actually tried to pull that one off.
What's that?
I can't believe that a circle has more room in it than a square. Certainly, does they don't make round boxes, so boxes wouldn't fit in a round car.
No.
No matter what they were trying to promote,
UPS
is the circle
would have
being
a hard time
bigger.
Delivering round boxes.
That'll be the day.
Speaking of Hyundai's design, though, and you know, most manufacturers have a theme throughout their models. Sometimes to the point that you cannot recognize whether you're looking at a BMW Model 3 or Model 5 or Mercedes C-Class or E-Class. And when you look at Hyundai, think of the IONIQ 6 electric sedan, which is like this egg-shaped design, and compare that to the Santa Fe, and there's no connection whatsoever. So Hyundai is pretty bold in going in different directions in their design, and kudos to them for that.
Exactly. It just goes to show you that the automakers never have a terminal problem in their design departments where they just can't make, they can't, you know, everything comes back, goes around in circles, they're coming back to the square world after everybody was involved with the aerodynamics of mileage capability and least wind resistance as they go down the road, except for pickup trucks, which still have big, boxy-looking front ends. The GMC and the Chevrolet line in particular are the boxiest-looking front ends, even over the Fords. And the Stellantis, of course, looks like they have wheel fenders on the front of their Rams so that they aren't as boxy as the other two. But they're doing this now in the passenger vehicle segment, if you can call SUVs passenger vehicles.
Well, and, speaking of design and the commonly found, retro design, what do you think of the new Volkswagen Microbus?
You know,
were I younger,
I would have an order in for
what
one.
It is first.
I want to see. I hope it's there at the auto show. I am really good. You know, I still have, for listeners, I still have a 2000 Eurovan, which is a very functional vehicle with a very functional interior. I got something called the MV version of the interior, which came with a bench rear seat facing forward and two middle seats that faced backward behind the driver and the passenger's bucket seats. And it is really fun to see that kind of interior design, which I don't think is reaching the new buzz. But the thing behind the thing is that the luggage area behind the rear seat is very functional and very usable for the six passenger load that the van can accommodate. And I used it. I have used it in the past with six people in it. Ski equipment on top on a rack, and luggage for six people behind the rear seat, and maybe a little bit of it in between the front and rear facing seats, because there was a big floor space for that ability to have as extra luggage area. But
just to clarify, the new microbus, the VW microbus, is an electric vehicle based on their MEB platform. So that's the underpinnings of the Volkswagen, and I'm being careful in saying this because I'm only 90% sure of this, but the Volkswagen ID4 and one of the Audis, one of the e-trons.
They share,
The smaller one. And I've seen it in Europe. I saw it last year in Europe, and it's really cool looking. It does.
Did you get up close to it? Is what I want to know.
Excuse me. What?
Did you get up close to it that you could walk around?
I did. I parked on the side of the road on the curbside, and I walked around it. And it's in a way, it's smaller than a regular minivan. It's got minivan features, such as the two sliding rear doors.
Yep.
It's got a pretty flat front fascia, but you can see that it's an SUV design. It's not as big inside as your Eurovan is. So it's more the interior of an SUV, and we are getting the longer platform, which is 10 inches longer than the one they sell in Europe, and it's going to be a three-row SUV for all intents and purposes.
That is the only one that I think, in my opinion, should come to the U.S. is the long wheelbase. I was extremely concerned in the beginning when I saw the short wheelbase. Let's go back to the passenger compartment and the very, very, very limited luggage compartment that appeared to be the case with the short wheelbase, and whether or not the long wheelbase will have that additional capacity, because I go along the lines of these square vehicles with very functional luggage areas behind their last row of seats. And I think that a van like that, any van, should have good capacity for that, because they're made to carry more than just passengers without luggage, no matter how they're set up to be used. So I hope they'll have one on the floor in the New York Auto Show for us to report on in later times. But I hope it's more than a fad design. What do you think about that? Because some of these designs are really neat, but they run out of steam of interest after a while.
It may, but I think it will. It won't be a dying fad overnight.
I don't think so either. The range thing is always going to be a problem for me with these electric vehicles. And utility types of vehicles like the Buzz, which can be used for long distance cruising, and we don't need to go back into it. But it's still, some of the manufacturers have decided that plug-in hybrids are the way to go. GM is a big one that is stepping back into the plug-in hybrid idea after having sort of eschewed it and just thought it wasn't going to be a big part of their market, but. These electric vehicles are only all electric, are just 100% electric, and you've got to remember that if you have load a van up, load factor, there will be a decrease in mileage capability in the electric modes.
True with a gas-powered car too. I mean,
yes, but we don't
burn more fuel. If you load,
I'm not going to argue with you.
Tow vehicles. By the way, speaking of tow trailers. I have a very large trailer, 30-foot trailer, enclosed trailer that I tow with my Volkswagen diesel. But there are new trailers coming out on the market. There are a couple of companies, and right now they're basically doing camper trailers. But those trailers have
battery packs,
electric motors, and a battery pack, which they have anyway because they have to power.
The camper part,
and they have solar panels on the roof, and I don't know what the range is, and it's just an assisted power.
They're like boosters, aren't they, for the tow vehicles?
I missed
that. That's happening in tractor trailers and pickup trucks, I think, with pulling stuff.
I think
there is a truck out there with a booster pack in the trailer part of the truck that can boost the towing cab part to override this complaint that the listeners are hearing from me.
Are you talking about a car trailer or a tractor?
No, I'm talking about the design. They're trying to get around this range thing with figuring a way to have more range for electric vehicles between charge-up requirements.
It's brilliant. It's pretty cool, actually.
And
I checked out a couple of those camper trailers. They do run around $300,000. So,
yes, it's not really an affordable factor for our listener group.
Everything is relative.
Yes, it is. Everything is relative.
So what do you have for safety tips for this week? Your turn.
I will say that my safety tip for the week is this show, whenever you hear it, listeners, is check your wiper blades. Wiper blades are usually you don't know that they're bad until they don't clear the windshield properly. And then many people don't even think about it if it doesn't rain a lot. But I have recently checked a number of wiper blades on a number of my vehicles, and I am finding that the middle part of the blade on either the driver or the passenger side has been separating from the body of the rubber part of the blade, and that causes an unclear wiping condition on a windshield. And wiper blades are not expensive. They are not hard to put on for people who can figure that out. But the stores, if you buy wiper blades, and I recommend that you check your wiper blades, and if they don't give you a clear, clean wipe of your windshield, you should get, especially if it's the driver's side, you should get a new blade immediately. We seem to be having more rain around our listening area, but it's going on everywhere. And wiper blades are very important to visibility and proper visibility, especially when it's raining hard. That, I think, is the safety tip for this week's show.
Great. We'll see everybody next week.
Yep, we'll see everybody next week, and eventually we'll have a car show report.
Yes, we will. Thanks for listening.